Hi, thank you so much. Appreciate that. Man, what a blessing to hear good, solid music every night. We've had that tremendous blessing, and I've really enjoyed it, and I appreciate so much that piano playing over there tonight. That was my daughter and my granddaughter, so I didn't get to see them. I didn't know they were playing. I would have moved over here somewhere, but anyway, it was good to hear them playing. Just really appreciate their music and their love for music, and what a joy it's been to be here. I am the same guy that has been preaching every night. I got my ears lowered today, and thank God Brother Raines didn't take my ears off. But anyway, I appreciate his donation to my ministry, and what a joy. All right. My daughter usually does that, but she's so busy, and she's done a ton of sewing for me. I save up all my sewing and bring her my sewing, and so she has been busy doing some sewing, so I just didn't trouble her anymore. But anyway, it's been a blessing. Always a joy to be here at this great church. Just one of the best I'm able to be in, and I just thank God for your pastor and his wife and their faithfulness. 40 years. Is it 40 years? And that's incredible. It's just incredible. And I just praise God for this ministry and trust that you'll continue to remember me in prayer. Lord's given me good health, and I'm just pressing on, trusting him day by day, you know, just trusting him and knowing that all's in his hands, that I'm ready. Praise the Lord. I'm ready. I'm ready. If the Lord wants to take me, that's fine. I'm excited. I'm ready about that. And but if he wants me to stay, I'm ready to stay too. So whatever his will is, it's a real blessing. Don't forget the books on the back table. I haven't said much about it. I'm not a really good salesperson, I guess, but I want to encourage you. I appreciate Pastor's words. There are a lot of good books. There's some good music. And, you know, most importantly are the scriptures back there. Even more important than the books are the scriptures that are available. No one's even stopped and looked. That's okay. You know, I mean, you've probably gotten scriptures before. I've always had those. My wife really had a great love to get the scriptures in the homes. That's why I continue to do it. Of course, I have a great love, too, to get people to have the scripture at home. But there are two books back there. All the scriptures in those books are available. Now, if you see something you like, don't take it out. Just let me know. I've got it filed, and I'll get one out of the file. So, but take a look. You know, you can't have a Bible home without scriptures on the wall. And so you need to get the scriptures on the wall. Deuteronomy 6 makes that very plain. And so you need to have it on the wall. Keeps the devil away, amen? And, you know, if rapture takes place, the Antichrist comes into your house and takes over, you know, maybe some of those people with him will get saved. You'll read scripture on the wall or something like that. I've known the people get saved just see the scripture on the wall. And the truth of the scripture. You know, the Bible's powerful. The Bible's powerful, and I'm just convinced of that more and more. So anyway, I hope you'll take a look at some of those things on the back table. There's good music as well back there. There's one CD. It's my wife and daughter made a CD years ago, and it was a tape back in those days, you know, and now I had it transferred into a CD. So if you would like that. That'd be a real blessing to your life, I know. All right, let's open our Bibles tonight, if you will, to the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 5. 2 Kings, chapter number 5, in your Bible tonight. 2 Kings, chapter number 5. And I want to read a verse here, 2 Kings, chapter 5, and verse number 1. Here's what the Bible says. Now, Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had delivered, had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. He was a leper. All right, let's look at the Lord's word of prayer. Father, we just thank you so much for the word of God. Pray you'll use it in our hearts. Help people to give attention to your word. Oh, Lord, save that soul that's here. That person that needs the Savior, God, speak to their hearts. Help them to trust you. Help them to realize the time is now. The time is now. Not tomorrow, not some other days, now. And I pray you'll just work and help them to see it. In Jesus' name and for his sake, we pray all these things. Amen. Well, we've been preaching on in times like these, and if you've been follow along, that's the theme in times like these. And tonight, I want us to consider that in times like these, you know, you need to be delivered from the world's worst disease. The world's worst disease. I mean, we're very conscious of disease. I mean, COVID's not the world's worst disease, Fred. Cancer's not the world's worst disease. The world's worst disease, you need to be delivered from it. And I want you to see tonight that world's worst disease is something that you can be delivered from, you know? I mean, there is supposed to be a vaccine coming up. It's supposed to take care of COVID. Well, I don't know what's going to come. I don't know if it will, you know. The flu shot, they had a shot, you know, but that doesn't always take care of the flu. People still get the flu even though they get a vaccine for the flu. But there is a vaccine, my friend, that will take care of the world's worst disease. And it will never, ever be that which would return upon a person. So I want you to see tonight that it's a disease that will take you to hell. That's why it's the worst disease. Worst disease is a disease to take you to hell. COVID can't do that, say. Cancer can't do that. But this disease, it can take you to hell. It'll keep you out of heaven. You know, it'll keep you from going to heaven, this disease. What could be worse than that, huh? What disease could be worse than that, huh? It's the world's worst disease. Naaman, this great man here, he's a great man. He started out with this disease and on his way to hell, barred from going to heaven, barred from it. He couldn't go there with this disease on him, barred from going to heaven. But he ended up with deliverance from this disease. He ended up on his way to heaven, off the road to hell, and on the way to heaven. He ended up that way. And so I want you to see tonight that you can be delivered from the world's worst disease. You can be delivered from it, this world's worst disease, as Naaman was delivered from it. He's a picture of this world's worst disease, Naaman. And I want you to see how he was delivered from this world's worst disease and how you tonight can be delivered from the world's worst disease. All right, notice with me, first of all, to be delivered from the world's worst disease, you know, you need to know that you've got it. You know, there's no deliverance from the world's worst disease if you don't have it, amen? But you got this world's worst disease. Everyone in this building, everybody in the world that was born in this world was born with the world's worst disease. That disease is a disease of sin. All of us were born with that disease. Now, here in the Bible tells us about Naaman. Naaman was a number of things about this man. First of all, he was a very good man. He was a very good man. How do I know that? The Bible says he was honorable. He was honest. You know, Abraham Lincoln was a real honest president. And, you know, honesty seems to be a thing that's faded out of existence, you know, in our day and age. But he was going to a store one time and he got some change. And he got home and he realized he got too much change, you know, and back in those days, you didn't have a car to go to the store. I mean, I don't know, he was raised in poverty, and he probably walked to the store, and so he had to, you know, if he was going to make this thing straighten around, he had to go all the way back. And so he walked all the way back, and just a few pennies, he got overcharged, and he said, you gave me too much, and I want to give it back to you, say. And so, wouldn't it be wonderful to have some politicians like that? Amen? You know, people are honest. you know, and honorable, not liars. And there's so much lying going on. It's incredible. This man Naaman, he was an honest man, but honest people can go to hell. Say, you can be honest and honorable, and, you know, just be the best person you could think of, but you could go to hell being honorable. Say, just honorable people can go to hell. But not only was he a good man, but he was a great man. He was famous. He was the great general of the Syrian army. And they had conquered many lands. And he was a great, courageous man. He was very courageous. And the Bible says here that he gave deliverance into Syria. And he was very, very great a man in the area of his courage and his accomplishments. And yet people that are great can go to hell because of the disease, the world's worst disease. You know, you could be a great man. You could be a great businessman. You could be a great military man. You could be a great businessman or a politician or some other kind of great person. But great men go to hell. Great men can go to hell because they have a disease that is preventing them and barring them from going to heaven. They have a disease that is going to take them to an eternal hell, you see. Now, if Naaman was here tonight, General Naaman was here tonight, and he would walk down the aisle of this church, you might say this. You might say, what happened to his nose? You know, leprosy was a horrible disease. And it would eat away at your body. It would eat your ears off. It'd eat your nose off. It would eat your fingers off. It was a horrible disease, leprosy, in the Old Testament. You know, we still have leprosy around, but you don't hear much about it. We don't have much about it here in this country. I think over in some other countries in the world, they still have lepers colonies and so forth where people go. And they just are quarantined there for, you know, because they're going to die. It's very catchy. And so they quarantine him off. But anyway, you know, if he was to walk down this aisle tonight, if he was here, he'd say, oh, I wonder what happened to his eyes. I wonder what happened. And maybe as he's walking down the aisle tonight, you'd say, boy, that's an awful smell I smell. What's that awful smell? You know, there's nothing worse than the smell of rotting human flesh. And leprosy put a tremendous rotting smell on you. I mean, because your flesh was just rotting away. And, you know, I don't think there'd be anybody in this building who would say, man, I'd sure like to be as courageous as he is, Naaman. I'd sure like to be like Naaman. He was courageous. He was honorable. I don't think there'd be one of us who'd say that. You know, but I want to say something. We all are like Naaman. We all are unclean. See, leprosy was what made you unclean before God. You read Leviticus chapter 13. It mentions 12 times that leprosy makes you unclean. 12 times you find the word unclean. And uncleanness will keep you from heaven, friend. Being unclean before God will bar you from heaven. You'll never get there. You see, you got the world's worst disease. And, you know, one of the reasons why I really believe that hell is such a stenching place, you know, is because people that go there have this awful disease of sin, and it's just going to be a stench. The Bible says the filthy will be filthy still. You know, people in hell don't get better. You know, they get worse. And they get a filthiness that's even greater. You know, if you like clean things and don't go to hell. If you like to be around good smells, don't go to hell. Because I'll tell you something, it's nothing but a stench because people that go there have this awful disease of sin. And it's going to cause them to be more putrid as the years and aeons of eternity goes by. And so we find that this man, you know, had this disease. And you know, all of us have the disease, the worst disease. See, leprosy is a picture of the disease of sin. And all of us, when we came to this world, we had this disease of sin. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says in Romans 5:12, wherefore is by one man sin in the world, death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Isaiah 1:6 says, from the top of a man's head to the tip of his toe, he's filled with putrefying sores that cannot be mollified with ointment. I want you to say something. It's a stench in the nostrils of holy God when you are infected with the disease of sin. God can't let that disease into his heaven. He can't let that stinking, defiling disease of sin, putrefying into heaven. He can't do that. Say, if you're going to get to heaven, if you're going to keep from going to hell, then you've got to get a cure for the world's worst disease, the disease of sin. You've got to get a cure for it. All right, the second thing, you've got to admit you got it. You got to admit you got this disease. If you don't admit that you got the disease, dear friend, there's no way that you're going to have that cure for the world. You got to admit it. You know, you say, well, I don't feel like I'm, you know, I don't feel like that. Don't go by your feelings, my friend. The heart is desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? Don't trust your heart. Don't trust your feelings. My friend, your feelings will deceive you. See, they're depraved. And you can feel, you know, I was diagnosed with cancer here a while back, prostate cancer. I didn't feel like I had it. I felt really good. But the test said that I had the disease of cancer. You may say, I don't feel like I've got this world's worst disease. I feel like I'm a pretty good guy. You know, I don't feel like I'm really possessed with this putrefying disease, this world's worst disease. Well, dear friend, you're never going to get a cure until you admit it, until you acknowledge it. There is no cure. I mean, I had to acknowledge I had it, you know, and I had to acknowledge it. I had to say, well, you know, I don't feel like I do, but you know, the test said I do, the doctor said I do. God's word says you do. You've got the disease. It's going to take you to eternal hell. It's going to bar you from heaven. God can't let putrefying disease of sin into his presence. Secondly, if you're going to have a cure for this world's worst disease, you need to know that there is a cure for it. I'm glad to tell you, friend, there's a cure. There's a vaccine. You know, and that vaccine is the blood of Jesus. That vaccine is the blood. It's not water baptism. That doesn't take care of the world's worst disease. It's not living a good life and doing the best you can. That's not going to take care of the world's worst disease. Oh, my friend, you've got to have the cure that God has provided in your life. You've got to accept the cure that God, you can't say, well, I'm going to cure my world's disease by living a good life, going to church, you know, and I'll read my Bible and you don't cure your world's worst disease by going to church and reading your Bible and getting baptized or any of those things. There's only one way you cure the world's worst disease, and that's God's way. You got to do it God's way, see? And so there is a disease, of sin, and you can have it cured. Say, the little girl here in this passage of scripture, this little maid comes along. She had been captured by Naaman. And so this little girl knew that General Naaman, and you know, she could have been very hateful towards him, but, you know, and turned away from him, you know, because, I mean, she was probably the remaining member of the family, perhaps. I mean, the Bible doesn't say their mom and dad, doesn't mention mom and dad. They might have been killed by this same general who had come in and conquered the land of Israel. And she could have been very bitter, and she could have turned away from saying anything to Naaman about the cure for his disease of leprosy. But she opened her mouth. She had compassion. And she said, there's a prophet who can bring a cure to your disease of leprosy. There is a prophet. And she told him about Elisha, the man of God, the prophet of God. And she told him of how that he could bring healing to his disease of leprosy. And remember, leprosy in the Bible is always a picture of the disease of sin. And so there is a cure. And you know what? I'll tell you what. The cure that we need for the disease of sin is by God's prophet from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to the world and went to that cross of Calvary. You know, God could have turned away from us. We're putrid. We're defiled. We got this horrible, stinking disease of sin that is causing a terrible stench in the nostrils of a holy God. And he could have turned away from us. But you know what? He cared for you and he cared for me. And he sent his son to go to a cross called Calvary. And on that cross, Jesus Christ took your sin and my sin and he paid the debt of our sin. And he rose again. He shed his blood. And the vaccine that you need to cure the disease of sin is the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your soul. See? It's a choice you got to make. Oh, you say, Jesus Christ, he died on that cross of Calvary. Okay, so that means we're automatically all cleansed of the disease of sin. No. We all can be. But you've got to make a choice. You've got to say, I want that blood. I want to apply that blood. I'm my trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It's a choice you got to make. If you want the disease of sin to be cured in your life, it's a choice that you must make. Do you care that Jesus Christ went that cross to Calvary? You know, one time there was a boy by the name of Greg, and he had a dad, and he was his name was John. And Greg was a little boy, and John's dad, or Greg's dad, John, worked on the railroad, and he would pull a lever that would lift the bridge and then push the lever, and the bridge would go down. And so, you know, little Greg wanted to go see his dad pull that lever and see the trains go across. It was a bridge that went across the Mississippi and allowed the trains from the east to go west and trains from the west and go east. And little Greg, he said, Dad, can I go to work? And finally, John said, okay, son, you've been a good boy around the house. And I'm you can go. And so, boy, I tell you something, Greg is there. And he's looking, I like trains myself. I'm a train buff. I got a little model train in my house down in the basement. I just love it. I just love trains. And so little Greg, he's all excited about these trains, you know, seeing them go across all of a sudden, you know, lunchtime comes, and so they're up on the observation deck having lunch, and Greg's dad, John, is telling him about some of the trains he's seen and some of the certain people that were on the trains and things like that. And he's going on, telling, he forgets what time it is, and all of a sudden he hears a whistle train. Woo, woo! That's a bad whistle, I know. But that's the best I can do, you know. And John looks down, he said, man, that's 1 o'clock. Memphis Express. He said, you know, that bridge is up and there's 400 people on that train. He says, I got to go ahead and I got to get that bridge down. There's 400 people on that train. He said, Greg, you stay right here. And so John hopped off the observation deck and he's run along the catwalk to get down to that lever. And, you know, as he's running down the way, he gets down there, and he's just about ready to push the lever that would lower that bridge and would cause those huge gears to lower that bridge. But as he's just about ready to push that lever, he looks down, and he sees his boy Greg laying unconscious in the midst of those gears. You see, Greg didn't obey. You always get in trouble when you don't obey. He disobeyed his dad. And he wanted to see his dad push that lever. And so he had run along the catwalk behind his dad. Dad wasn't aware of it. And he fell right in the midst of those gears that would lower that bridge. And there was Greg laying unconscious. There was his dad. 400 people on the train coming. Bridges up. John had a choice to make. What choice did you make? This is a true story, friend. I'm not telling you something that's just made up. This is a true story. And so John Griffith grabbed a hold of that lever. And he pushed that lever that lowered the bridge and the bridge came down just a nick of time. That train, 400 people on one, speeding by. And there, laying just emaciated by the gears, was John Griffith's only son, Greg. And as he looks at the train going by, he sees the people, he sees a man sitting there, you know, reading the paper. He sees a teenage boy eating a bowl of ice cream as he looks at the train. He sees a lady, reading a magazine, and he can't help but cry out, "Don't you care? I gave my son for you. Don't you care?" No one answered. They couldn't hear John. Somehow I believe that God looks over the balance of heaven to people right down here in this building. And he says, "You got the disease, the worst disease in all the world you could ever have, the disease of sin. I provided a cure for you. I sent my only son to die on a cross for you. He paid the price for your sin so that sin disease could be cured. And it wouldn't bar you from going to heaven. And it wouldn't cast your soul to hell for all eternity. Don't you care that I gave my son for the cure of your disease?" You know, I tell you something, folks, the worst sin you can ever have in your life, you know what it is? Unthankfulness. You know why I got saved? I was just thankful for what Jesus went through for me on that cross. And I said, "Lord, I can't turn away from you. I've got to open my heart and receive you as my Savior. You went to that cross for me." Oh, dear friend, I'll just tell you something. Do you care that Jesus died for you? I'll tell you what. You do, you'll get cured of the world's worst disease. You'll get cured because you will be willing to open your heart and receive Him as your Savior. But there's another thing. If you're going to be cured from this world's worst disease, you know what? You can be tonight. But to be cured of the world's worst disease, you need to act without delay. Now, we find the name and heard about this cure from this little girl. And you know, he hears about the cure, and the king of Syria, he wants Naaman to be cured too, because, man, he's a great general. I mean, hey, this guy is a tremendous a tremendous military genius. And so he wants his general to be healed of his horrible disease. He knows he's going to die of a horrible death if he doesn't get a cure for this awful disease, leprosy. And so he hears about this cure, and the king of Syria and Naaman say, "Man, let's go get the cure." And notice what the Bible says there in verse 4. "And one went in and told his lord, saying, 'Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel.' And the king of Israel, king of Syria rather, said, 'Go to, go.'" You know, I like that. I like going. I've never been a sitter. I just like to go. You know, I'm just that way. I like to go. I don't like to sit around. I like to move. I like to go. And so the old king of Syria says, "Go to, go. And I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed. And the Bible says, and he departed. So Naaman, he didn't sit around and say, you know what? I got lots of time to take care of this disease of leprosy. I'm just going to wait some other time. I'm going to wait some other day. I'm going to wait for my wife. I'm going to wait for my husband. If you're ever going to have the cure of disease of sin, dear friend, this disease that's eating away at your soul, and you've got to act without delay. Right. You've got to say, "I'm going to take care of that disease now." There's a cure. If you have the cure for cancer and you had cancer, would you say, "I just got to wait around a little bit? You know, I'm not going to do it right now." If you had COVID tonight, and there was a disease, I mean, there was a vaccine that would cure, would you say, "I just got to wait around. I'm in some other day, some other time"? But oh, how foolish it is. So many people have this horrible disease of sin, and they say, "Tomorrow, not tonight, Do you know that God's favorite word in the Bible is today, now? God is a God of today. He's not a God of tomorrow. You know who the God of tomorrow is? The devil. The devil would like for you to say some other time, tomorrow. He loves that. Back in the Old Testament, when the plagues came upon Egypt, you know, and had all these plagues come, and Pharaoh is going through these awful plagues, and you know, frogs everywhere. I mean, one of the plagues was frogs. Can you imagine what it must be like to sit down on a frog? Or you think there's a plate of pickles out in front of you, and you go to stick it, and there's a frog jumps away. I mean, frogs everywhere. It's a plague of Israel, on Egypt rather. Frogs everywhere. And so Pharaoh's sick and tired of going to bed and finding frogs under covers. And so Moses comes and says, okay, Pharaoh, when do you want me to take care of the frogs in your land that you're sitting on, that you're sleeping with, that you're stepping on as you walk across the floor? And you know what Pharaoh said? Tomorrow. Can you imagine that? What was he saying? I want to sleep one more night with those greasy frogs. I really like them. Just let me have one more day with those greasy, slimy frogs. Say. And yet there are so many people who say, you know what? I just want to go to sleep with this disease of sin one more night of my life. Not today. Listen, dear friend, if you're going to have the disease of sin cured, you can't delay any longer. You got to say, tonight, I'm not going to leave this building with that disease of sin eating away at my body, my soul. You got to say, I want it. Hey, that's what happened to Naaman. He said, hey, I'm departing. I'm not going to wait for anybody. I'm not going to wait for I'm taking off. I'm going. I want a cure for this horrible disease, leprosy, you know. He wanted a cure. See, he believed it. He could see that his hands were eaten away. His ears were beaten off. You know, he knew that he was on deathbed. He was heading towards dying, and so are you. You don't know when your life's going to come to an end. Boast not thyself at tomorrow. You know not what a day is going to bring. I'll never forget, I was in a church one time, and there was a man there, a young man, he came in. And during the invitation time, we gave an invitation for, you know, to come and get saved. And the boy standing there, and one of the men of the church, godly man, walked up behind him. And he said, sir, would you like to go and get saved and delivered from the disease of sin? And the young man said, yes. And he slipped down that aisle. And that night he trusted Jesus Christ. And he got the cure for the disease of sin. You know, he only lived 3 more days. He was in his early 20s. He only lived 3 more days. Hey, folks, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to die. You're going to die. You don't know when and you don't know where. And by the way, Jesus is going to come. And he could come today. And if your wife is saved and you're not saved, guess what? Your wife will go to glory. And you'd be left behind. If your husband's saved and you're not saved wife, you're a husband. If Jesus would come, go to glory. You'll be left behind to go through the horrible tribulation period which comes on the earth. It'll make what's going on in this country look like a Sunday school picnic, what it's going to be like in the tribulation. You don't want to be around this world, friend. After Jesus comes, there's going to be a great outbreak of rebellion. You see, during this particular time, the Holy Spirit is holding back and restraining iniquity. I'll tell you, but that restraining is getting less and less. You look at all the rioting. It's just going to get worse, folks. But when Jesus comes, that restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit hold back is going to be totally removed. And there is going to be an outbreak of war and famine and death and bloodshed like you cannot begin to imagine. Folks, quit saying tomorrow. Quit delaying. Get that disease of sin taken care of tonight. Don't delay. But you know something else? If you're going to get the disease of sin saved from it and from it, not only do you need to acknowledge you got it, not only do you need to know that there is a wonderful cure for it, God's provided a cure. His own son shed his blood on the cross. That's the cure, not baptism, not good life, not good works. Jesus Christ. And not only that, to get here, you got to act without delay. Now is the time. I can tell you the very day God wants you to be saved. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. You don't know you got tomorrow. Only 2 days you know you got are today and when you stand before God. That's the only 2 days that anybody in this building knows that they've got. And that is today and when you stand before God. You don't know you got it tomorrow. God wants you to get this sin disease problem taken care of. Tonight, he wants you to do it. Because he knows something maybe you don't know. Maybe he knows you don't have much time as you think you do. He's all wise. He's all knowing. You're not here by accident. You're here by divine appointment. God wants you to get this disease, this world's worst disease, cured in your life, delivered from it, saved from it. Take advantage of your opportunity. Don't pass it up. It may be your last one. It may be your only one. But there's one more thing. You know, I want you to see two more things. Number one, it is this, that you need to hear the way to get rid of it. You need to hear about the way to get rid of it. Now, I want you to see that Naaman, he tried to get rid of it in his own way. You see, Naaman had thoughts. He said, I thought. You see, he was thinking that the way that he could get rid of it, and the king of Syria was thinking that the way that they could get rid of this awful disease was by some works that they would do. And notice what the Bible says here in verse number 5. He departed and he took with him 10 talents of silver. He thought, money will do it. Money will take care of my sin disease. 6,000 talents of gold. You know, 6,000 pieces of gold. And 10 changes of raiment. So that's all his works. It's all his thoughts. This is the way that I can get this disease of sin taken care of. By my own efforts, by my own works, by my own thinking and my own way. And you know what? The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You cannot take care of your sin disease by your human works. Oh, the Bible is so full of scriptures that make that so plain. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. See, it comes from God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Bible says in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. Isaiah and chapter number 55 and verse number 1. Here's what the Bible says. Hope everyone that thirsteth. Come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Hey, it's none of your works. See, Naaman had to come to the realization that it wasn't his human effort that was going to have anything to do with the matter of his disease of sin, his disease of leprosy, taken care of. He had to come to that realization. Naaman is told how he's going to be able to take care of it. The Bible tells us that God says, Naaman, Elisha the prophet says, you know, he's the one that's going to bring that deliverance from the disease. It's a prophet. You got to go to Elisha. See, they went to the king of Israel. They thought the king of Israel was the guy that was going to bring the deliverance. Israel couldn't bring deliverance from any disease of sin. It's not the Pope that's going to bring you deliverance from the disease of your sin. It's not some human being. like that. It's God's prophet. And so we're told, Naaman's told, that it's through the prophet. You got to go. You know, a lot of people think that, it's through Jesus, but, he's, involved in this being able to be delivered from the disease of sin. But, there are things I got to do to help him, Jesus. No, you don't. If you think Jesus plus your works, Jesus plus your life, Jesus plus baptism, I'll tell you something. There is no cure for the disease of sin. When you add anything to Jesus, you've done away with the cure. You got to come to Jesus Christ alone and call on him alone to put your total complete faith in him, not him plus this, plus that, plus this, plus that. No, just total complete faith in him. Say, the Bible says when you mix human works with Jesus, do you know what you do to what Jesus did in the cross of Calvary for our sin? You make it null and void. It becomes vain and empty. Galatians 2:21 says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, that's good works, by keeping good works, by jumping through religious hoops, then Christ is dead in vain. His death is nullified. It can't do you any good when you add something to Jesus. It's Jesus alone that can deliver you from the disease of sin. And then we find that the prophet instructs him and says, now look at, he says, I want you to go down to a river. And the river there is Jordan. You know, go down that Jordan River. And Jordan in the Bible is a picture of judgment. It's a dirty river. It's a humbling river. Naaman says, why can't I go to the Arphar and the Pharphar and the Arbana? See, man wants to substitute. Why can't I go to these other rivers? You know, there ought to be some other ways to get cleansing from that disease of sin. It's the Jordan River. It's not just one way. The Jordan River. Yes, it is. It's one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Do you know him? Does he know you? You may know him, but does he know you? It's not a matter whether you know him. It's a matter whether he knows you. And he doesn't know you until you come to him personally and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I've got the disease of sin. You've got to cleanse me of this awful disease. And until you're willing to do that, there's no disease of sin that's going to be cured in your life. Even if you're good, moral, nice, go to church, you know, put money in the offering plate, all kinds of other things you can think of. You've got to come to Jesus and say, I've got the disease of sin, and you're the only cure. Your blood's the only way that my disease of sin could be cured. I am applying your blood to my soul by faith. You don't do it by works, you do it by faith. See, the way to God is through faith. It's not through human works. You want to be great before God, you got to have a faith. Now listen, Jacob, it doesn't take a lot of faith. Just take the faith you got. You say, preacher, I got to get more faith to get the disease. No, you just take the, and by the way, you got faith. I mean, it's not a gift. Faith is not the gift. Salvation is the gift. Faith is something you have. All of us have it. You had faith to sit in that pew that was going to hold you. You know, you had faith that your wife didn't put poison in your coffee this morning when you drank a cup of coffee. You know, you exercise faith all the time. And the way you get the disease of sin taken care of is take the little faith you got and put it in Jesus. Amen. And God will save you. Amen. See, it's not the amount of faith. It's just the faith you got. Charles Spurgeon said, little faith will take your soul to heaven. Much faith will bring heaven to your soul. So after you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you need to grow that faith. How do you grow it? Obey the Lord, you go to church, you hear the Bible, and you start living for God, and that faith grows, you get stronger and bigger. Amen. So you can have the blessing of God and be used of God. But it doesn't take a lot of faith to get the disease of sin cured. Just take the faith you got tonight, as little as it may be, and put it in Jesus and his blood, and you can walk out of here cured. Amen. Totally cured of the disease of sin. But it's got to be a choice you make. I can't make it for you. I wish I could. Oh, I wish I could. But I can't. I could only do it for me. And I thank God for the day when I came with a little faith I had as a teenage boy, 60 years old. And I said, Lord, I got this disease of sin. And you're the only one to take care of it. And I'm putting my faith and trust you, Jesus. And boy, I tell you what, he cured that disease of sin. And I'll show you why I know it in just a few minutes. But you know something? It's simple. What's so hard about going down the Jordan River, Naaman? My Bible tells you the Jordan River. What's so hard about going down that Jordan River and dipping yourself in that river seven times? What's so hard about that? It was close. The Jordan River's right there. The Arphar and the Farfar River were miles away from where this man was. It was close. That Jordan River's right close. Hey, you're close to being saved tonight. I mean, you're close. It can happen tonight. It's close. And then, you know, it was free. There was no mention of any money here. You got to have a certain amount of money. It's free. You see, it's by faith. You know, you'd think that people in America would really love the fact that this disease of sin, getting this disease of sin, is free. You'd think they just... I mean, every advertisement on any radio program now. Oh, you come, you get a free water bottle. You buy this, you get a free plastic cup. You get, everybody is offering free things, and people must be all excited about it. They must be responding to all these free items. But the most important free thing that you could ever get in your life, delivered from the disease of sin, you turn it down. It's all paid for. Jesus paid for it, the cross of Calvary. When he was on the cross, he said, it's finished, it's done. There's nothing you have to do to, somehow make yourself able to be, a person cleansed from the disease of sin. It's all paid for. Jesus paid it all on the cross. All you got to do is say, I want it. But you know what did old Naaman do when he was told what he had to do to get that disease of sin taken care of? Disease of leprosy. You know what he does when he hears the message on how to get rid of it, this disease of sin? You know, disease of leprosy. You know what he does? He gets mad. He gets mad. You read about that in verse number 11. Let's see what the Bible says. But Naaman was wroth. He went away and said, behold, I fought. You know, he was mad. Why was he mad? Because it was against Naaman's pride. See, Naaman didn't want to come the humbling way. I've got a disease that I can't do anything about. My works can't do anything about it. My church can't do anything about it. I've got this disease. And Naaman did not want to humble himself and say that he couldn't have something to do with taking care of that disease of sin. You see, he was filled with pride. It just was against his pride. That's why he got mad. Say, that's why he got mad. You know, I remember a guy one time, he was a very wealthy guy, and he went to a revival meeting like this, and he heard the gospel. Said, man, he knew he wasn't right with God, and so he's under conviction, but he didn't respond to come and get things straightened around with the Lord. And so the next day he's talking to one of his workers, and he says, Joe, what do I have to do to get saved and to have my sin forgiven and to go to hell? And Joe could see all the pride written all over him. And he says, you see that hog pen over there? I said, yeah. He says, you see the fence there? Yeah. He says, you see those hogs out there in that hog slop? Yeah. He said, what you got to do to get your sins forgiven and die and go to heaven and not to hell is you got to go over there, climb up over that fence and get down amongst those hogs and kneel down there, fold your hands in the midst of all that slop and ask God to save you. And you know what? That man, how he responded, he let out with a curse word and he went away. He was mad. But boy, he didn't have any peace that his sins were gone and forgiven and that he was on his way to heaven. And I tell you what, he was troubled, greatly troubled and filled with the guilt of his sin. And so, the next day he goes back to that same guy and he says, what do I got to do to get rid of all these sins and the guilt of these sins and be forgiven? And Joe says, you see that fence over there? He says, you got to go over there. And right away, that proud man, he just turned and started heading for that fence. You know, he starts going to that fence, man. He says, that's what I got to do to get peace. That's what I got to do to know going to heaven. So he starts going that way. And his friend, the guy working for him, said, hey, wait a minute. You don't have to go climb over any old fence. You don't have to get down in the midst of hog slop and go to praying. You don't have to do that. But he said, you got to be willing to. Got to be willing to. You know, if God said the way to get the disease of sin cured was to go to New York City and get on the Brooklyn Bridge and jump off the Brooklyn Bridge, and if you would do that, you would be cured of the disease of sin. If that's what God said, that's what you'd have to do to be cured of the disease of sin. If that's what God said, that's what you'd have to do. But God doesn't say that. You know what God does say? You got to come to Jesus as a lost sinner on your way to hell, infected with this horrible disease of sin. And you got to come to Jesus and say, Jesus, you're the only one who can cure my disease of sin. Would you do it for me right now? I'm asking you to do it. Him that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out, Jesus said. You come and ask him, he's not going to turn you away. You say, preacher, you don't know how many sins. You don't know how old I am. God doesn't care how old you are. God doesn't care how many sins you committed. God says, come to me and I will cure your disease of sin. And you'll be able to go to heaven and you will not be barred from heaven. And you will not be amongst the filth of hell. No, the stench of hell of people who never got the disease of sin taken care of. And in hell, the stench is filthier, filthier, filthier as the years of eternity go by. Dear friend, you see, you've got to come the humbling way. There is no other way. The humbling way. You can't come with your pride. In fact, you won't come with your pride. You're only going to come get that cure for the sin disease when you're willing to humble yourself and come to Jesus Christ and open your heart and receive him as your personal Savior. That's what Naaman did. Naaman did that. Will you do it? Naaman did it. Will you do it? And that's what happened to Naaman as far as the Word of God says. He came and he put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He did what the Bible said to do. He obeyed the Word of God. See, to change your mind is what it takes to be cured of the disease of sin. To change your mind. What's that mean? It means to repent of your way. Well, I think I could do it this way. I think I can do it that way. You know, dear friend, there's no deliverance from the disease of sin until you're willing to change your mind and say, you know what? I'm changing from my way, Lord, and I'm turning to your way alone. And there's a change of heart. Change of heart is that you're willing to obey the Word of God. And we find that Naaman had a change of mind. He turned from his own way, works and good things, and he turned to God's way, revealed by the prophet. And he had a change of heart, and he goes down to that muddy Jordan River, marches right down there. The Jordan River's so muddy. You see, it was a humbling way. It was humbling because Jordan was they were beautiful, clear rivers, but that Jordan River was a dirty river. But he says, I'm going to obey what the prophet of God said. Jordan is a picture of Calvary. It's a picture of what Jesus went through, the judgment of sin, what he went through for you and me. And he identified with us and going to take our dirty, rotten sins upon us. And the Jordan River is a picture of Jesus taking upon him the filth of all our sins. When this man was willing to go down to that Jordan River, and he went down there, and he went down seven times. God said seven times. He was really dirty. What? You're really dirty too, friend. You don't know how dirty you are before a holy God. All of us, you know. Thank God I got cleansed from my dirty sins when I went to Calvary. And old Naaman goes down there, and he goes down seven times. He obeyed what God's prophet said to do. And he goes down in that dirty Jordan River, and he comes up. Having done what God's word said to do, what God's prophet said to do, you know, what the Bible said to do, he did what the Bible said to do with all his heart. And the Bible says he came up, and there were two glorious things that took place. First of all, the Bible says that he was totally cleansed of the leprosy. And in verse 14 of 2 Kings chapter 5, here's what the Bible says, verse 14. Then he went down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. I meant to tell you, the moment he obeyed God and did what God's word said, and he went down that Jordan River, went down seven times, he looked at his hand that the fingers had been eaten away. And there they are. They're all back. And his ears that were, they're on his head. And whatever other parts of his body that leprosy was, just, it's all restored. One of the things I like to do, I like to touch the skin of a newborn baby. So smooth. It's not filled with rum. But the newborn baby skin is just smooth and soft. That's what happens when you come and you obey God and you open your heart to Jesus Christ. You are cleansed of all the guilt of your sin. You get a brand new life. I mean, Naaman became a brand new person. I mean, you become a brand new. You know, when I came to Christ, he changed my life. And he gave me so much better than the life I had before. He made me new. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passing away. Behold, all things are becoming new. And here we find that Naaman, because he was willing to do what God said to do through the prophet, you know, and go God's way and turn from his way to God's way, turn from the proud way to the humbling way, that he is totally made new. No more a leper. No more with his horrible disease destroying his body and his soul. That's what will happen to you when you come and you take God's cure for your disease of sin, which is the blood of Jesus Christ, and you apply it to your soul. You'll walk out of here, the disease of sin, totally cured. A brand new slate on your life, brand new life. You know, a lot of people say, I'd like to start life over again. Well, you can when you come to Jesus. You can start life all over. You become a brand new person. You get eternal life. You get forgiveness for all your sin. You get peace. Joy. You get confidence. I mean, this is the greatest thing that ever happened to you. Or anybody. Is to get that disease of sin delivered from, cured in your life. But then notice something else. The Bible says, verse 15. And he returned to the man of God, and he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, now watch this. Behold, now I know. You see, Naaman knew he was going to heaven. Naaman knew that he was right with God. You know, religion never gives that confidence to you. You know, you can have religion, and but a person that doesn't have that disease of sin cured, you know how they respond when you ask them, do you know you're going to heaven? Well, I think so. I hope so. I had that for years. I think I'm going there. I want to. I hope I am. Do you know? Oh, I don't think anybody can know that. My friend, a person that makes that kind of statement is just revealing they've never had the disease of sin cured in their life. Naaman says, I know. Say, when you come and you say, Lord Jesus, I want you to cure this disease of sin I got, I'll tell you something, you will know beyond any shadow of doubt you're saved. You know you're going, as you pillow your head tonight, you can just pillow it with peace and joy and say, you know, if I don't wake up, praise God, I'm going to wake up in heaven. Hey, you can have that total confidence. It's not because you're better than somebody else. It's not because of what you did. No, you didn't do a thing. All you did is you came and you humbled, you put your faith and trust in the blood of Jesus Christ. And you know what? God gave you peace, gave you certainty, gave you the absolute wonder of knowing for sure you're going to heaven and not to hell when you die. We're all going to die. Man, I tell you what, a lot of people fear dying. That's what people are so filled with fear about the COVID. Why? Because they might die from it. Well, you know something? I'm not afraid of COVID. I know where I'm going if I was to die. I'm going to be with Jesus. I mean, heaven's gain for me. Death. You know, Paul said, oh, death, where's our sting? Oh, grave, where's our victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is law. But thanks be unto God, which given us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You could have victory over the fear of death. You could know and look death right in the face and say, you know what? I'm not afraid of you. I have Jesus. And he's going to take me right to heaven. And you can just go and chew on that for a little while, death. Because you don't have any power over me anymore. That's what Jesus said for you. Say. You know, I was in Montana preaching. And there was a lady that came. She was a guest. A lady came. She's invited. And I got up and preached a simple message like this, you know. And she got mad. She didn't like what she heard. She didn't like it at all. And boy, I tell you what, after service, that lady just shot out of there. I mean, she just walked right by, didn't even look at me. I mean, I tried to shake hands, and she didn't want anything to, she didn't want to shake hands with me. She just went right out of that building. I mean, she was mad because she wasn't one that was any way interested in changing her mind about how to take care of her sin. She's going to do it herself, you know, her good life. And she didn't have any desire to humble herself and come to Christ as a sinner needing to be saved. And she didn't have any desire for that, and she just walked right out. Well, you know, I'm always heartbroken when people respond that way. I don't like to see people do that. I hope you don't do it tonight. You know? But she did, and it breaks my heart. But I said, Lord, I just preached what the truth is from the Bible. And Lord, I'm sorry she's that way, but, you know, the Bible either is, you know, going to be that which will bring comfort or bring a sword to your life. It'll cut or it'll comfort. And if it cuts you tonight, dear friend, not anything I can do about it. It's the truth. Whether you want to accept the truth or not, that's up to you. And so the lady went out, and I was, you know, at this point over, I said, well, praise God, she heard the truth anyway. And, you know, I went back to that church about 2 years after that, and I went into the building. The first person that came up to me, big smile on her face, she came up to me, and she said, I've been waiting 2 years for you to get back here. She said, I want you to know, Mr. Gilmore, that, you know, when you preached that night that I was here that first time, I got mad and so forth. But you know what? Oh, Brother Gilmore, I finally changed my mind about my works, and I repented, and I turned from my way to take care of my sin and the church's way that they said would take care of my sin. And I finally changed my heart, and I was willing to obey the word of God and open my heart and receive Jesus Christ. And she said, now I know I'm going to heaven. Amen. Boy, I tell you what a blessing that was to me. And she was just so happy and so thrilled that she finally humbled herself, came the humbling way to God. Said, I'm a dirty sinner. I've got the disease of sin. I can't cure it, Lord. You're the only one who can. And thank God your son died and he shed his blood. And if I apply that blood, I can be cured of the world's worst disease. The world's worst disease. You got it. You were born with it. Have you been cured of it? Have you been delivered of it? There's a cure. Will you take the cure tonight? And will you decide you're going to come to Jesus and receive him as your Savior? Now's the time. You know, the real hero of this story is that little girl. That little girl opened her mouth. What a testimony this little girl had. She was in the right place. I mean, she was right with God. You know, number two, she was at the right time. Boy, if there's ever a time when you as a Christian need to have a testimony that's strong, it's today. That little girl was at the right place, and she was at the right time, and she saw a man who had a great need, and she spoke the right words to him. And she said, there's a prophet in Israel who can bring healing to your disease. And child of God, is that testimony tonight? What kind of testimony do you have? You're saved. What kind of testimony? Are you in the right place? Right with God? Nothing between you and the Lord? Are you in the right place? Clean. So God can use you. That little girl was clean. God could use her. And she was at the right time. She says, man, this is the time I got. This guy is going to die and go to hell. People are dying and going to hell all around us, folks. Are you at the right time? Esther came. In such a time as this, she was there for some. Listen, the reason why you're here tonight on this earth, child of God, is that God wants you to look at your life and say, I'm here at such a time as this to be a witness and to speak out about Jesus Christ, my friends. She spoke the right words. It wasn't go to church to take care of your sin. It wasn't live a good life. It was, come to Jesus. Do it God's way. Go to the man of God. Oh, listen, do you have that kind of testimony, child of God? Is that your testimony? She's the real hero here. If it hadn't been for this little girl being in the right place at the right time with the right words, this man, Naaman, would have died and gone to hell. Where are you, child of God? What testimony? Do you have a testimony like that tonight? Isn't it time to get your testimony back? Isn't it time to get your testimony back, child of God? We're on the verge of the rapture. People are all around us. I mean, the world's falling apart. America's falling apart. Truth's falling in the streets. Riots and fires sweeping our country. Child of God. Are you in a place of having a testimony like this little girl? I hope you will get in that place. And if you're not saved, dear sir, if you've never taken care of that disease of sin, don't say tomorrow. Don't say some other time. That's exactly what the devil wants you to do. Are you going to do what the devil wants you to do tonight? Or are you going to do what God wants you to do and say, today, I'm going to get that cure for the disease of sin. God help you do it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Speak to our hearts, Lord. I pray that the world's worst disease won't conquer anybody in this building. I pray that they'll come to Jesus Christ and receive him as Savior and get this world's worst disease delivered from it and cured of it. And I'll praise you for it, Lord. Speak to the hearts of your people. Lord, help us to be the testimony we need to be in these days, Lord. Help us to be in the right place at the right time with the right words and speaking the right about the right person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, the pianist begins to play our invitation song. And that is, in times like these, I want to ask you a question tonight, dear friend. Do you know if you were to die right now, you'd go to heaven, not to hell? Do you know that? You say, preacher, I know that. If you know that, would you slip your hand right up there high and hold there? Yes, preacher, I know if I should die right now, I'd go to heaven, not to hell. I know that for sure. Don't lie about it. Don't raise your hand. Well, you know, I think so. No, that I'm not asking if you think so. How many say, preacher, I know for sure if I should die, I'd go to heaven and not to hell. Can you raise your hand on that? Can you raise your hand? But don't lie about it. If you can't, don't raise your hand. Please be honest about it. All right. Thank you so much. You put your hand down. I didn't see everybody in this crowd, but I tell you, in a crowd this size, I'm sure there were some who couldn't raise that hand with confidence and say, I know for sure I'm going to heaven and not to hell. And dear friend, I sat exactly where you sit many years ago in my life. I didn't know. I didn't think you could know. And that night I found out from the Bible, you can know it for sure. Dear friend, I'll tell you something. You've come to the right place because we'd like to show you how you can know for sure, 100% for sure, you're going to heaven. Not to hell. You say, preacher, I want to know that. I really do. If that's you, would you slip that hand right up there for prayer and say, preacher, pray for me. I'd really like to know for sure I'm going to heaven and not to hell. I don't know for sure, but I'd like to. Here's my hand. Would you lift that hand right now, wherever you're seated? Just lift it right up. Just lift it right up. Take it right back down. Anybody like that across the building? Just right up. Take it right back down. Now's the time. Tomorrow may be too late, friend. You can't get saved any damn time, any time you want to. You got to get saved God's time. And God's time is now, not tomorrow. Now's the time. Would you take advantage of your opportunity tonight to get the disease of sin cured?